Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the RAP Tour Podcast. I am your tour guide, Tim. And we have a kind of a special episode, I think, for you guys today. And I can't do this by myself. And again, we're sorry. Gary and Luke are not here. Unfortunately, they got to work. Wah, wah. But I do have Ash with me. And me and Ash actually have talked about this. We wanted to do this episode for a little bit now. So, Ash, how's it going, my guy?
Tim, long time no speak. How are you?
we're just like on a mission today. We're crunching out some episodes for you guys. So
yeah. This is I like this one. I last season we did like the history of Terra Cruenta. So we did the history of Cary, Ohio. It's always nice to stay on brand with the music announcement we have with the weekend.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen the title, this is basically the music of HHN. So we're kind of going to do a history of music in the event. I think this is such a cool idea. I like this. Like, I'm excited to talk about this and kind of go through it. So let me get some notes out here. Make me look all professional. but actually, I think Ash is going to start us off, if I'm not mistaken. So Ash is, we're basically, me and Ash are going to, kind of how we do our audiobook style, but we're just going to kind of do it live, even though we're not live. We're recording it still, but we're live. It just sounds so inception going on here. But what we'll do is we're just going to kind of go through things, talk about it, and just, you're going to hear some music in this episode too, which I think is going to be fantastic. And so let's get going, Ash.
All right. So yeah, in terms of the music of Halloween Horror Nights, this was an extensive research, to say the least. So we do have a lot of notes, so we'll go over that. Now, this is just strictly Orlando. It's not Hollywood. They have more kind of musical influences in terms of their mazes, scare zone shows, for example. We'll touch on that right at the end, but we're just going to focus on Orlando. Now, the thing with Orlando is we haven't got too many actual, dedicated music or artist inspired mazes or scare zones or shows, if you will, but tons of music has been incorporated into different scare zone shows, mazes, which we're going to touch on in this episode. But so when we're talking about the history of the music featured at Halloween Horror Nights Orlando, we can't not start without Midnight Syndicate, right? So, I mean, Midnight Syndicate are an American musical duo that they work primarily in like the genre of like gothic music, and they've been doing this since around 1997, and they are, funnily enough, based in Ohio.
No kidding. I did not know that.
You couldn't write that. Okay. Yeah, you could not write that better, could you,
for the lore, definitely, I guess. Not. But
and then Midnight Syndicate has had their music featured in many, many years of Halloween Horror Nights and just many other horror attractions worldwide as well. They first featured at Halloween Horror Nights 9, Last Gasp, and they are still used to this day also.
Incredible. I love that. They were based out of Ohio.
Yeah.
Go figure. What, you think that was done purposely? It just happens just to be a fun coincidence.
Maybe, because Cary kind of stretches back to HHN 12, and this was technically 3 years before the inception of Cary, maybe. So, yeah, maybe.
Okay. Themes were used in haunted mazes, scare zones, websites, and entrance area, music-wise. There were three special vinyl that were released, and they featured a note in them from TJ Manorino that said, "It is difficult to overemphasize how much the music of Midnight Syndicate played in the historic success of Halloween Horror Nights. Our art and design team drew inspiration from various tracks from many of their albums as we envisioned, created, and produced early websites, attractions, scare zones, and haunted houses. Those same sounds wafted through the event itself and embedded in the powerful sound systems employed throughout Universal Parks. Proof of the invaluable contribution is evident to this compilation of memorable cuts. To this day, Midnight Syndicate music wafts through our design studios as we imagine worlds to come." Man, like, do you think when they like start every year, for the following year, getting everything planned, they just start cranking Midnight Syndicate and just be like, all right, what are we doing? Like, we're getting pumped up again. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, absolutely. This is just crazy how it just incorporates everything, not just scare zones, area music, houses. It's also the websites were huge, Midnight Syndicate, and there were so many Easter eggs where you clicked on certain things and it took you to music videos for Midnight Syndicate, things like that. So it's just how they've incorporated everything is just wild.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, and in terms of the vinyls, you just touched on it there, Tim. They released three vinyls. I actually got the first one. I didn't bother with the other two. They were very similar, but they added kind of like bonus tracks on there. You know, for the sake of like $50-$60, wherever it was, I didn't bother getting them all. But the kind of I guess quote unquote the original one. I'm just going to run the tracks real quick because these are the most popular ones, if you will. So we have Darkness Descends from Halloween Horror Nights 9. Then we have Grizzly Reminder from Sweet 16. The Terror Gate, The Queen's Fate. Legendary Truth from Halloween Horror Nights 18. Goldwood Forest, again, from Tales of Terror. Goons and Grease Paint from Horror Nights 24. So, you know, been used so long. Ironbone Gorge, again, from Tales of Terror. Haunted Nursery from Last Gasp, the first time it was used. And then the Carnival of Carnage, Building the Carnival and Carnival of Carnage. We also have Dragon Forge from Tales of Terror. Into the Forest Deep, Reflections of Fear. And then we also have Noctum Aeternus, which was from the first Icon year, Jet the Clown. And then we also have Terror Cruentus, again, from Tales of Terror. So as you can probably see, the more popular ones have come from the same event where they were used pretty extensively, but we are gonna get to that. We're gonna take a little step back in time and then kind of go through all the years, if you will, and then including anything.
Like you really could just see like throughout the years, like how important music plays into the event, you know? Music stretches all the way back to Fright Nights, and it played a big role in shaping the event, especially for the first decade. As opposed to the usual five scare zones we have today, we had more street shows and stages for rock and roll shows, which is, you know, world's biggest Halloween party that they were going for. And this is what I always talk about. I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we're gonna go over it right now. Yeah. But you can see for at least the first 9-10 years, we had those rock and roll, you know, kind of shows and music influenced back then. So music stretches all the way back because, like you just said, that's what they're going for, the world's biggest Halloween party. They want to make it a party in the streets.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then, one year after, Halloween Horror Nights 2 featured the inception of Bill and Ted's excellent Halloween adventure, which, because we're talking about music, it is a, you know, it's a parody, it's a pop culture show, but it always has musical numbers in it, whether it's popular music or music of current times. And we also had mainstay songs from the show, like We Will Rock You, and that would run for another 26 years. And then we also had Rock and Roll with Wolfman Jack also. So that kind of rock and roll theme on the streets was continued for the second event as well.
Yeah, well, Wolfman Jack, just famous, you know, radio DJ. So makes sense to have somebody come host that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we move on to HHN3. And we had a rock inferno show with acts such as Herb Williams and Gibraltar. It was only featured on certain nights and included, and this is cool, there was definitely like some concerts going on here. So October 15th was Shy, which is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, some kind of R&B. October 15th and 16th, taping of ABC in concert. October 16th, we had Information Society. October 22nd was Diamond Rio. On the 23rd, they had the Meet the Stars from the Fox shows, which is kind of cool. I think we talked about that in our previous episode. And then also on the 23rd, they had Jade, another R&B group. According to this, it was introduced by Fox stars, including Sid Bed, Kim Coles, Bruce Campbell, Tisha Campbell, Brian Austin Green from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. October 29th to 31st. Then they had Herb Williams and Gibraltar, you know, close out the concert schedule. See, like, how cool is that? So, like, we're getting kind of like early beginnings of, like, you know, concert festivals, you know, like, almost like Mardi Gras-esque, you know, but at HHN. This would be cool. I wish they would bring this back too.
They could too. They could even do local bands too, you know, because there are a big following for like local bands too. But yeah, even though this is not like, you know, a house featuring the music of, you know, Herb Williams and Gibraltar. It's not necessarily that, but you can see, like you said, music was so important back then to them. And this all incorporates the history of the music, you know, how it kind of evolved over the years. And then we, one year later, the live acts, if you will, were so popular that they had another Rock and Roll Inferno. And then they had many bands who would play, obviously, various songs. Some of the bands included Flash Flood, Sash Jordan, and we also had Jerry Lee Lewis playing as well. So we're keeping that Rock and Roll Inferno going.
All right. And then we move on So we have Curse of the Crypt Keeper had a Lagoon show with music and a Rock of Ages show. This show was a rock and roll party on the streets of New York. See, back to that rock and roll party.
Yep.
A band called Raven and the Nevermores appeared in this show, and a DJ played pop songs from the 60s to the 80s. Michael Jackson's famous song, Thriller, was reportedly played many times during the event. And then the Lagoon show was more operatic music. So kind of, you know, hinting at, you know, shows coming down the line, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think Thriller just works too as well for that side. And even if you put like generic kind of spooky music on, you know, like, I don't know, like Monster Mash, just for example, it just works, you know, it's a party in the street. That as well. But the shows are going to continue. These were so popular that they just continued them because why not? So Halloween Horror Night 6 did feature a show called Welcome to My Nightmare, which is obviously the same album name of an Alice Cooper album from the mid-70s, I believe. The show was a rock and roll concert featuring rock and roll cover bands. So I think it was local rock and roll cover bands such as Alice Cooper, Kiss, Black Sabbath. And this won't be the last that we'll see of Alice Cooper. And then just 1 year later, we also had a show called Frightmares, which is the name of the event for Halloween Horror Night 7. And again, a rock and roll review continuing that party theme. But yeah, and I think we're going for a theme here. I think Halloween and like rock and roll or kind of like metal just works,
for sure.
I guess, right?
Yeah, I feel like everybody knows, you know, that they just coincide. Don't get me wrong, there's other music that can do that. But I feel like that's just like the most common thought is like, you know, heavy metal, hard rock music, and Halloween. They go hand in hand. Hand in hand. So don't come at me again. Other music can can fit into that. I know this. So so then we move on to HHN 8, where they had Horrorpalooza, which was a rock and roll concert featuring songs from Lynyrd Skynyrd, Peter Frampton, a Kiss Army band, which is basically a Kiss lookalike, you know, cover band, tribute band, or whatever you want to call it, and Tommy Shaw. So again, incorporating more artists, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think this is, like we said, it was this. I know these are shows, but these are absolutely the history of the music at HHN because they're featuring obviously music so heavy. But I think, yeah, just like you say as well, I think you've got a beer in your hand, you walk in the streets, and you can just, you know, live music's always good. You know,
agreed.
To have that on the street is just awesome. And then we get to Halloween Horror Nights 9, titled Last Gasp. They had a show called Trick or Treat's Dead Man's Party, which was labeled your front row center as a heavy metal band of hideous creatures take to the stage in a live show of monster rock, grunge, and madness, which was, again, tons of kind of cover, metal, rock as well. And also, we kind of touched on it at the beginning, 1999 was the first time that Midnight Syndicate was used, and this featured the track Last Gasp, which is also the name of the event as well.
Let's have a listen to it. Awesome.
Yep. And then also Monsters Cafe also featured a DJ this year too. So so Monsters Cafe, you can go in and get some food, but you listen to a DJ as well. I think they did this quite a few times. This was the first year they did it, I believe.
Okay.
And this is kind of like the final year, quote unquote, before we're going to dive into the Icon era. So you'll start to see that kind of shift away.
Yeah.
From kind of the rock and roll show, they do come back, they do come back a little bit, but you start to see that shift away now and have more Icon shows and things like that. But
I have
definitely a good 10 years.
I got a question about that Trick or Treat's Dead Man's Party. Mm-hmm. Like, so Dead Man's Party, that is a song by Oingo Boingo.
Okay,
Was that, do you think that, I don't know, obviously, you know, do you think this was a big part of that event?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I don't even think. Okay. It was a song?
Yeah, Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo. Huge. You know the track if you heard it.
If I heard it? Yes. Is what genre is it?
I mean, I guess I would call it maybe like, back then it was like that 80s alternative.
All right.
I mean, it's an old song. Been around. Do you know who Oingo Boingo is, right? It's Danny Elfman.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you've ever listened to any of Oingo Boingo, you know.
Well, that's funny to mention that, because Danny Elfman will come up, and it okay. probably was used prior to that as well. So that just makes absolute sense. I'm glad you brought that up, actually.
Okay. So like Ash was saying, we get into the icon era, if you will. So now Jack the Clown helps kick off the icon era with a show called Jacked Up that used techno music. One of Midnight Syndicate's most famous track, Noctum, I'm going to butcher this, Noctum Aeternus, mm-hmm. is also featured at the event. So let's have a listen now. Awesome.
I love that track.
Yeah.
And continuing with the icon era, we had Islands of Fear, which was Caretaker's first year. We had a show there called Studio 666, which was like a return then of that high energy rock and roll show we were missing for like the last like 2 years or so, just because we had Jack the Clown with number 10. We had the Eddie year. 11, which were a bit of a turbulent year, obviously.
Yeah.
So Islands of Fear brought that kind of high energy, high octane rock and roll show back, which was outside the Enchanted Oak Tavern, I believe, on the stage. So back to that rock and roll again. What the people love, what people want.
Yeah, I agreed. So then we get into more tracks from Midnight Syndicate, you know, coming out. So we have Troubled Times, Skirmish, and Heroes Valor. All tracks by Midnight Syndicate were featured in the Maze Ghost Town, Gargoyles and Horror and Wax, and Soliloquy, man, that's a tough word to say, from Castle Vampire or Vampire. All were featured at HHN 14.
Yeah, there was, I think there was eight mazes, was it seven or eight? Either way.
Yeah.
I think out of like the seven or eight mazes, I think like five or six of them were just full of tracks by Midnight Syndicate, which was pretty cool. You're going to see a lot of Midnight Syndicate in here as well. But moving on to Halloween Horror Nights 15, Tales of Terror, which was another bit of a strange one. It was the storyteller, but Terror Queen as well. That bit of a strange year there. But this was just full of Midnight Syndicate. It featured heavily as well. Each area of Terra Correns as well has nods to each area, like Ironbone Gorge, the Hollows, for example. We can listen to actually a couple of snippets of these right now.
In this world of Terra Correns, separate realms share a common devotion to and fear of the Terra Queen and the thunderous black god of Ironbone Gorge. Increasingly codependent, these realms exist in an uneasy balance of need and want, where a limited supply is always short of an insatiable demand.
Like pass through here, and ye tempt fate. Know what lies beyond this gate. From bridge to bridge stand her guard, creatures bloody and battle-scarred. Bow deep to queen on bended knee, born of iron and forged of tree.
This we promise. In the gorge where manslay feed, we hear their screams, watch them bleed. For they know not what they face. They know nothing of this place. Where seducers dance, sweat by flame. Wanton flesh, feel no shame.
And then we also had a track named Relic Uncovered that played to guests in like the ticket area and the guests entering the park. So if you are familiar or maybe not familiar with Tales of Terror or the lore of Terra Cruentus, there was certain lands in the area of Terra Cruentus, which was overruled by the Terra Queen, and each area had its own, I guess, soundtrack, if you will, performed by Midnight Syndicate. So yeah, this was very, very heavy for that event. That's probably the, I guess, their biggest influence, I guess,
I was going to say that seems like the largest event that they've been a part of.
Yeah.
Musically, so.
Sure.
So then we move on to the next, and it's All Night Die-In Take 2 at Sweet 16, featuring themes from such movies as Hellraiser, Scream, and The Ring. One of my all-time favorite tracks, Grisly Reminder, first appeared at this event. It's also playing in a behind-the-scenes video with Mike. Let's listen now. Awesome. So Mike Aiello in the Hallowed Pass Maze from HHN 20 is the video, correct?
Yes, yeah. Correct. That is, and if you do want to Google that, you can just Google Hallowed Past on YouTube, and it's kind of like a behind the scenes story. It's Mike taking, I'm not sure if he's taking through, maybe a reporter, I'm not sure, but, and the track Grizzly Reminder that you just heard a moment ago is kind of playing throughout the whole thing in the background, which is really cool. And I love that track. As well. And then on to Halloween Horror Night 17, the Carnival of Carnage, an all-timer for a lot of people. This actually featured two musical inspired shows. We have the Carnival of Carnage and, for the first time ever, one of my favorites, the Rocky Horror Show, a tribute show also. And this is it, Tim. So the Carnival of Carnage had tracks from Danny Elfman.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Megadeth, Midnight Syndicate, My Chemical Romance, and it also featured a lot of music from the movie It, or I guess the series, because it was originally released as a series. And then Rocky Horror, as you can imagine, it had music from the musical, which obviously has heavy, heavy audience participation. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love this show. If you got the right crowd in, like the interactive crowd, it was just such a blast. I would love Rocky Horror to come back in some form. It was just so easy on the Beetlejuice stage because it's kind of already decorated that way. So just easy just to insert there. But two very popular tracks from Midnight Syndicate were used during this event. We have Building the Carnival and also Carnival of Carnage. So we'll insert a little snippet of each track here for you.
Mm-hmm.
awesome. So good. So good. Man, see, this is the kind of stuff they need to bring back.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I don't know. I feel like we're missing out. I mean, we've gotten, don't get me wrong, we've gotten like scare zones with, which I'm assuming we will get to, you know, a little further down the line here, you know, that have had some good stuff going on it. But
yeah,
bring the party back. Okay, so we're moving on to Reflections of Fear, had a scare zone called the Schoolhouse, where We Don't Need No Education came from, and had Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 play in Scary, Horror in the Heartland, which obviously fits, right? Also, the legendary Truth track was first born in this event. So let's listen to that one right now.
I love that one. It just reminds me of Halloween, the Halloween for sure. Synth for some reason. But yeah, moving on. Yeah, we're not slowing down here. Moving on. So Halloween Horror Nights 20. We kind of we just talked about that, the Mike Aiello video. It was the Maze Hallowed Past, which had at least 5 different Midnight Syndicate tracks during the maze. These were not listed, I don't believe, on any of the vinyls they released, but it included tracks. If you do want to listen to them, you can pause it as I speak. So Living Walls, Army of the Dead, Carnival of Souls, Procession of the Damned, and Cage of Solitude. So again, Midnight Syndicate, at least 5 tracks there throughout that maze for you.
So man, by this time, HHN20, like how many tracks do you think we have from Midnight Syndicate, right? Like we got to be pushing like what, 12, 13, 15? I don't know.
Oh, probably even more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think the vinyl, I think has, how many tracks does the vinyl have on it? Just curious.
I don't know.
And they're just the popular ones. So that's 15. It's got 15 on it, the original one they released. Dang. So, and they're just the popular ones. So I'm thinking I'm going to shoot for everything, because there are some tracks in some mazes that are not documented, you know, because there's only so much people remember or document from the early days.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50. I'm going to say 50.
Damn, that's crazy. That is a lot of tracks. That's incredible. Do you think we would get new stuff from them?
Yeah, I believe if you go to their website, they're still active right now. I believe they just did. They just did some music for, like, I think like a horror or like a haunt event in Germany, I believe.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right, cool.
Yeah, they're still active though. So,
good. All right, so now we're moving on to the next year. We're at HHN21, A New Experience. Death Drums featured where it was a drumming experience on floats, as a nod back to the parades and street shows, and in the Scare Zone 7, a cover of Beautiful People played, and then the real version when the transformation took place, which happened all night. Wow.
All night long.
Really?
That same track by that one person.
God.
It was like a cover version of it, and then when they transformed, it was the real version of that artist. Oh. But yeah, all night long.
That
so
artist.
That artist.
I love that. So I love that's what we're saying. That artist. Yes, I gotcha.
If you know. But if you were a scare zone in there, I apologize. If you were a scare actor in that maze, God bless you. You're probably still hearing that at night when you go to sleep, even though it was 11 years ago. And then on to Halloween Horror Nights 22, which was the first ever true music inspired maze, as Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare was one of the 7 mazes at the event. So during the actual queuing up to get into the maze and the actual maze itself, it featured well over 20 songs, including the maze and the queue, and then imagery from Alice Cooper's shows, music videos were included as well as Alice Cooper himself in the actual maze. He featured a few times in there as well. But that was the first kind of, I guess, you know, quote unquote, official
music house.
You know, real music house, because we don't have a lot of them.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of actual physical music houses or mazes, but
can I stop you there for obviously. A minute? Just for a minute?
Yeah.
So were you at this event?
Yes, yes.
So did you go through this house?
I sure did.
And I want to know. So how was this house for you?
I liked it. There was a ton of strobe. As well, which was, it took away from it. If they did it without strobe, as well, they also had one of those, you know, those like creepy nurses, I guess, from like Vanity Ball or,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
It was as well. I can remember like a big spider in there as well. And we had the, so some of the tracks didn't make sense, but the actual, how the imagery was presented, like they had Schools Out, you don't think of like a creepy or
sure.
Now, but they had like, Schools Out, and it was like the bleachers there, and there was like people getting killed, you know, bleachers there. I enjoyed it. It wasn't one of my favorites.
Fair enough.
And I can remember a lot of strobes as well, which kind of took away from it a little bit. But
okay,
yeah, it worked.
All right, moving on. Go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to know.
No, of course. And also, we had this. if there was ever a John Murdy event, that was at Orlando. It was definitely this one because we also had Penn and Teller knew. Vegas, which had a ton of artists featured, including like Elvis, because obviously it was set in Vegas, Coen, Prince, Marvin Gaye, just a real mixed bag.
Wow, that is some collection of songs in this house or artists. Coen, Prince, Marvin Gaye, and Elvis.
Yep.
All right.
I know that's a maze with a big musical influence. From Halloween Horror Nights 22. I call that the Murdy event.
The Murdy event. Oh my God, that's funny. All right, so then we move on to HHN 24, and Face Off in the Flesh was considered a music zone as the Artist District 78 was featured heavily. Also, Giggles and Gore featured Goons and Grease Paint from Midnight Syndicate. And let's listen to that right now.
Right, perfect. Yeah, and then the Face Off in the Flesh that you just mentioned was the show Face Off.
Uh-huh.
What I forget what it was on. Was it on? It was on Sci-Fi.
Yes,
it was a unit. It was Sci-Fi.
Yes,
which obviously Comcast own anyway.
Yeah, correct.
Which is just makes sense. But yeah, obviously, and this is going to be, the kind of start of those musical influenced. Mazes, because obviously the District 78 artist was featured heavily there. We also had another one at HHN 25. We had the Block Party, Psycho Scarapy Unleashed. That was like a music party zone. But we also had the Return of Jack in the Carnage Return show, which was a big musical show of the year, including music from like Avenged Sevenfold, My Chemical Romance, and Rob Zombie were also featured there as well.
So I noticed when Jack comes back, Jack has music with him.
He does. Yep.
Hand in hand. So that's a thing, isn't it?
I think so, especially with, because obviously they do a lot of speaking, but a lot of the times they are doing things on the stage as well. So yeah, the music kind of adds to what they're doing as well. And I always think they make a really good soundtrack where they insert the music, etc. I always think it flows and fits really well.
Okay. I was just curious. So then we're going to get into some like scare zones here. So we got Vamp 55 at HHN 26. This continued a new tradition of musical theme zones as it featured iconic 50s music to roaming vampires. One of my favorite zones. This was such a good zone. Mm-hmm. Then we had Festival of the Deadliest at HHN 27. This continued. And then another vamp maze we had was Vamp 85, which is a similar concept, but with 80s music. How many people love this zone because of the music?
So good.
So good.
This is my vibe completely, the 80s.
Exactly. Then, you know, we have to mention this. We had Academy of Villains also featured for the first time at HHN 26 and would run for 4 years, which would include music for their dancing. You know, a lot of good dance songs and remixes
really
of songs, you know, that were really fantastic.
Yeah. And I think a nod to that one would be the Altered States one at 29. Their last one was just, and I know it's a bit of a taboo, you know, subject right now, Academy of Villains, but that Altered States one, the actual performance and the music with it was incredible. I really, really enjoyed that one. And then Halloween Horror Nights 29, Rob Zombie's Hellbilly Deluxe. This was solely the music of Rob Zombie, which was the album basically on a 45-minute loop. Did you enjoy that zone?
Rob Zombie?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I can remember. I know. It was. I always thought just because the zone was fantastic, it was just... It got busy at times.
It did. Well, I think that's just because of the placement of where it was. It was in San Francisco, so you know it's always tight over there. And especially they had some like so many props up over there, you know, and then they had the stages, you know, for the dancers. And, you know, there was like some platforms that were even up higher that you could see, you know, people dancing and stuff. But let's not forget about our dancing robot guy.
Oh, so good. Dancing Robot and the Dragula, they were just much needed. I read somewhere as well that they were not going to put the Dragula in there. And I can't remember. It was somebody in the department said, no, we have to have a Dragula in there. So
that would have been the biggest mistake if they did not put Dragula in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they were thinking about foot traffic maybe with props they already had. And like, listen, we can't do this. It's going to be mayhem in there. But yeah, good decision. And speaking of mayhem, the marathon of... That was a nice segue, right? Yes,
very good.
The marathon of mayhem was first introduced this year too, and it's run ever since. I mean, it's only been there twice. I think it's coming again from that spec map. But yeah, this was just perfection. It was so good. Obviously, music from Ghostbusters, you know, what do we have? Stranger Things, Killer Clowns, just those. Yep. Yeah. And also, we had, you know, things like Duran Duran. We had Lamal because we had Never Ending Story, like Run DMC from the Ghostbusters. So huge, huge musical operatic.
Man.
And then we had the most recent one was more of a rock opera, you would say, right?
Yeah. That first one is still not going to get topped. I mean, it could.
No, that first one was just so good.
You know, last year's we talked about it. It was like a rock opera, you know, kind of crazy, kind of loud. I think there were some sound issues, but, you know, we're not going to get into that. Still good. Don't get me wrong. It was very good last year, but it's not as good as the first one. And then we get to our most recent event at HHN 30. We had the debut of Halloween Nightmare Fuel, which was basically another music fest, dance, stunt show, all inclusive, you know, craziness.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of these obviously are shows incorporated with music, which is great. And that brings us to today, which is the weekend's announcement, which was officially announced by Halloween Horror Nights, by Entertainment Weekly, the worst kept secret. But yeah, I'm very, very happy for that one. We've already done a reaction to this one, so we're not going to dig too much, but it's going to be primarily After Hours album. And the imagery from that arc, if you will. That's pretty much it. That's, you know, we've gone all the way back to Fright Nights. We've managed to get all the way up to Halloween Horror Nights 31, which is just less than 50 days away now. But I think we'll give one little nod, Tim, to the part one music, do you think?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you got to mention Slash in the West Coast, right?
Yeah, we have Slash has featured a lot. I know they've had Alice Cooper numerous times, I believe. They've also like rock and roll operas with like their Universal Monsters, you know. So they definitely have more musical. Where I think Orlando has the musical, I guess, shows and the most musical, I guess, incorporating music in the Scare Zones and the Midnight Syndicate, whereas they have more kind of Scare Zones and actual maze that are featured artists, if that makes sense.
For sure. So, Ash, I enjoyed talking music with you. This was good. But we have some breaking news. We're actually on recording something when something has just dropped. The new speculation map has just dropped.
Well, of course it has, because we're recording, right?
I know. Maybe we should just record a separate episode.
Yeah, we don't need to cover it in this one.
Yeah. So guess what, guys? Me and Ash are gonna record a third episode today, because that's what we're doing. We are just grinding. But a speculation map has just been dropped, as usual. Anyway, so we really hope you did enjoy like the history of the music at HHN, and it just seems like it's gonna be, you know, something that's, I guess, more to come, if you will. Obviously, if we're getting houses inspired by artists and their music. So I have a feeling that, you know, as Ash likes to use, you know, the renaissance of a time, you know, we had the renaissance of the icons. Now maybe we have the renaissance of the music houses.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe.
Ash, where can everybody find us?
Yep, we are at RIP Tour Podcast on Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube. We're on the Discord. We have a TikTok. And we also have merch. That if, I think if you just type in Spreadshirt RIP Tour,
correct,
that will come up. I believe Gary was saying yes. At the top there. We people have bought. You have. I know you have two, Tim. I know Zach has one. Jason has one. They have those hats, those kind of like trucker hats, which are really, really cool. And we also have buttons that we will give away, including some, I guess, chasers.
Absolutely.
As well in the fall. Also.
For sure.
So we got you covered, people. We got you covered.
Got you covered. Anyway, this has been the music of HHN. Hope you enjoyed it. And then, you know, maybe stick around, because we might just record another episode for you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.